Thanks to those of you who supported the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through the charitable grant program of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, Thrivent Choice, we received more than $15,000 last year through Thrivent Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrivent Choice. For more information on how you can designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
To answer the responsibility we're given in Proverbs to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves.
In Wilberforce's day, going with the flow meant supporting slavery, that Africans are not fully human. In Bonhoeffer's world, in Nazi Germany, it meant supporting the idea that Jews are not fully human. So whom do we say is not fully human today? Who is expendable to us?
My religious beliefs affects my character and the way I treat people and the way I live.
I love how Chrysostom ties the transfiguration to the passion as though this is nothing. You want to really see some glory of God. Look at him dying and bleeding on the cross for your sins.
Southern Illinois truck drivers, love issues, etc.
When it comes to the life of the mind, the Christian has a unique calling. Not just to think, but insofar as we are able in our fallen frame, within the limits of our fallen reason, to think God's thoughts after him, to think like God, or at least to think as God would have us think. And you have to be taught to think. It doesn't come naturally to us. What comes naturally to us is not sound reason, but unsound reason. And not all thinking, of course, is created equal, is it? Our postmodern day says the way one man thinks is equal to the way another man thinks, even though they may be mutually contradictory. But that's not true. There is a right way of thinking, and how is it to be achieved? If we have to be taught to think, then education would seem to be very, very important for the life of the mind. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon. It's February the 8th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about Christian liberal arts education, the life of the mind, as it grows and is taught to think and grows in knowledge. Dr. James Tallman will be our guest for the first half hour of the program. After that, Pastor Lee Hagen joins us. We're going to talk about rural and small town churches. Many denominations, especially American denominations, kind of live in the Midwest. They live in the small town. They live in the rural setting. And so we'll talk about what's unique about, well, what's unique about a church and a ministry in the country, if you will. In the second hour of the program, Robert Morrison joins us. We'll talk about the conscience rights of American Catholics. He's written recently a column for National Review Online titled Why This Lutheran Defends Catholics' Conscience Rights. Eric Metaxas joins us after that. He was a speaker at the National Prayer Breakfast recently, and we'll talk about some of the things he had to say there about helping the poor and about excluding those we do not think are worthy of our care or our concern. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at @issuesetc. Dr. James Tallman is professor of rhetoric and director of debate at Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia, and he's author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Teach Your Children to Think Like a Lutheran. Dr. Tallman, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. It's a real pleasure to be on today.
You say that our own children will not learn to think like Lutherans unless they're educated along the lines of the classical liberal arts. What do you mean by that?
Well, Lutheranism is not fundamentalism. It's a sacramental faith and a confessional faith, and there are certain habits of mind that are the product of liberal arts education that equip one to have ears to hear and eyes to see God's word in a sacramental way and confessional way.
So what do you mean when you talk about a classical liberal arts education? Take that apart for us, if you would.
Well, I operate quite heavily on the paradigm that you get from Dorothy L. Sayers, The Lost Tools of Learning, in which the trivium, I'm a professor of rhetoric, so in the trivium, the classical liberal arts were divided into the seven liberal arts, the trivium and quadrivium, and the trivium were grammar, dialectic, and rhetoric. And Sayers points out in that essay that the trivium were tools for cultivating habits of mind that then were applied to other arts and sciences in the process of learning.
So it begins with learning to think. Then you learn things to think about. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. And as you equip, so, for example, she points out in the article that in the medieval curriculum, students were taught first grammar. The grammar stage is the basic constituents of a body of knowledge, and the students learn in a very basic way the parts of knowledge that they're attempting to gain. And then once they started to develop the ability to reason a little bit more fully and abstract a bit, then they would enter the dialectical phase where they would learn reasoning processes, learn about fallacies, and so forth. And the rhetoric phase of education is the capstone of the liberal arts. That's where once a student reached a degree of intellectual sophistication, they were invited to engage in discourse and disputations with their tutors, and they entered into declamation and eventually original oratory once they found their voice. And so it's graduated according to the cognitive development of the students.
What does it mean? You said before that there is a sacramental way and a scripture-centered way of thinking that is almost unique to Lutheranism. Explain that a little bit more.
Well, in a sacramental Christian viewpoint, figuration is critical because that's where things stand for other things, and paradoxes abound, right? The both ends of Lutheranism are very prominent and well understood today. And when one has been trained in the rhetorical arts, they learn to appreciate and they develop an ear for not only the musicality of language, but they cultivate imagination in a way that helps them to, for example, understand the parables of Christ better and to recognize when they see a chiastic structure in Scripture. In Hebrew and Greek structures, form and meaning were conjoined more than they are in the American popular kind of viewpoint. Form and meaning are not really have nothing to do with each other. But if you can see, for example, where there's a parallel structure in a chiasm, for example, like 1 John 1, verses 5 through 10, there's a parallel structure between the verses where you have like an A, B, C, then a B, A structure. And the point of that structure, where the point falls, is the main point of the verse. If you're attuned to that, you listen with a different ear than somebody who's not been exposed to that sort of structure.
What has replaced the classical liberal arts in education today, and what has been the result in our ability to think and think God's thoughts after him?
The alternatives to the traditional liberal arts education are progressivism, pragmatism, and postmodernity. Postmodernity is based on deconstruction. That does not equip a person, obviously, to handle absolute truth. This is most certainly true. And progressivism was itself first really popularized in Prussia under King Frederick Wilhelm III at the University of Berlin, and Schleiermacher was really instrumental in that. And progressivism was designed to undo the influence of Orthodox Lutheran education on the masses, and it really was based on a rationalistic bias, and it led to the critical method. And so that was kind of, progressivism was kind of an undoing of much of what we're trying to revive in the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education and other groups. And then pragmatism is pretty much vocational training in the sense of learning job skills.
So what's been the result in the way that Christians think today?
Well, I think that a lot of God's truth, the nuance, the richness, the abundance, we're not taught to recognize amplification. We're not taught to recognize, to be able to follow Paul's line of argument across an epistle is really quite a feat for a lot of people. I think a lot of people just glean their knowledge of Scripture by, you know, a verse here and a verse there. But Paul was a Hellene, and he was educated in these arts, and it surfaces in his epistles. And so, if nothing else, learning about figures of speech, for example, and dialectical arguments and syllogistic argumentation, those are fundamental tools in a classical liberal arts education. And when you pick those up, your reading of Scripture is enhanced thereby.
Dr. James Tallman is our guest. He'll be with us for another 10 minutes on the other side of the break. We're talking about Christian liberal arts education. It's Wednesday afternoon, February the 8th. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. I know this is a subject that is near and dear to many of our listeners' hearts. 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us an email here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. A little bit later, Pastor Lee Hagen will join us to talk about rural and small town churches. Robert Morrison will be with us in the second hour of the program. We'll talk about the conscience rights of American Catholics. He's written recently for National Review Online in support of Catholic conscience rights. And Eric Metaxas will be with us at the end of the program talking about last week's National Prayer Breakfast and what he had to say, speaking truth to power there in a humorous and disarming way, but truth nonetheless. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Jeff Siegel of St. Mary Evangelical Lutheran Church in Des Moines, Iowa, where God gathers us around His means of grace to offer us forgiveness, life, and salvation. Whether you are looking for a church or just visiting Des Moines, if you like issues, etc., St. Mary's is the church for you. Join us as we gather together every Sunday to continue the Reformation tradition of Christ-centered, cross-focused worship, preaching, and teaching. For more information, go to www.stmarylutheran.org. Remember to spell out Saint.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
How does Jesus' incarnation provide us with a response to religious relativism? Find out in an article that I've written for the latest Issues, Etc. journal. It's titled God in a Box, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org. You can also read about Pastor Michael Schuerman's journey from moralistic therapeutic deism to the rock-solid theology of the Reformation. The online Issues, Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm. So check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Christian liberal arts education, the desperate need for it. And I speak as someone that I must admit, and I have before many times on these airwaves, I am not a product of this. Everything I learned, I think I learned remedially after and in spite of the education that I received. Well-meaning education, but certainly not adequate to the task at hand. So I often will look at this as something that I missed out on, and I know our listeners find it fascinating as well. Dr. James Talman is our guest. Dr. Talman, you say that one of the features of a classical liberal arts education, and especially as it comes together with sound Lutheran theology, is the doctrine of Christian vocation, which I think you need to distinguish for us from what you were talking about before, pragmatism that just views education with a quote-unquote vocational goal. What's different about the Christian doctrine of vocation?
Yeah, Todd, as the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education has been trying to flesh out what the distinctives of a Lutheran classical education is as opposed to Christian classical education, which is very popular and was kind of the forerunner to what the movement that we tried to tap into and give the Lutheran expression to. It became clear that doctrines like vocation and two kingdoms and Christology and the theology of the cross were central to the Lutheran distinctives, because it really, for example, with a sacramental view, when you approach education in that fashion, the perspective of the students will be quite different, and that's the sense in which a sacramental view requires a particular kind of education. Vocation, in the Lutheran sense, is a central aspect of that, because that's the part of our doctrine that has to do with equipping students for service in the world, service of neighbor, and that kind of emphasis in the education. If you think about the general idea of liberal arts education, artes liberales, it's education for freedom. What does Luther tell us in On Christian Liberty? Our freedom is a freedom to serve our neighbors.
So this education does have an end, and that is the daily practice of Christian freedom?
That is one of the ends, as Luther makes clear in his sermon on the obligation to keep our children in school. He talks about first the benefit to the kingdom of God for educating people who can rightly divide the word of truth, and then also the temporal blessing is equipping people to serve well in the temporal kingdom.
Is this education also an end in itself, in some sense?
Well, of course, yeah. The pursuit of knowledge is an end in itself, and this, you know, but that kind of begs a question, pursuit of what sort of knowledge? This is the kind of knowledge that equips one to think well, to reason well, to analyze and to follow arguments, think quickly on one's feet, but it also equips one to be a good leader, and we all know that those who would seek to be greatest in the kingdom of God must be servants of all.
I often, looking in from the outside at American Catholics, especially those who are more outspoken, we have many of them on this program, they seem to have retained, in some way, this ability to think. They don't think more deeply, they just think better. In kind of basic biblical terms than much of American Christianity, is there something that has, although it would be quite different in many ways, is there something about the Catholic mind in the United States that is worth emulating here? They seem to be able to speak and think articulately in the public square much better than most Christians.
American public education has gone adrift since about the turn of the last century, and the Catholic system of education has really preserved a liberal arts tradition much better than I think the Lutheran tradition has.
So how do we get it back, Dr. Talman?
I think we buy Korchak's book, Lutheran Education, we read it carefully and inwardly digest it, and then try to honor our heritage by making good on one of the primary motivations that the Saxon Lutherans had for coming to this country, and that was to avoid what was going on in their schools because of the Prussian Union. They were really concerned about how their schools were being affected by this social engineering, and so they came to this country for religious freedom and to start schools that were along the lines that we're talking about today, because they knew that it was essential to have this particular kind of education available to their kids so that they would be useful both in the kingdom of God and in the kingdom of man.
You say the unhelpful dominant approach to education today imperils the faith of our children. Many would agree with you, but they would say, well, it's what they're being taught, not necessarily how they're being taught. It sounds like you're saying it's both.
I think it is both, and I think that when you are exposed on a daily basis to either pragmatism, progressivism, or postmodernity, deconstruction, you know, critical method, that's going to undermine your ability to grasp and to hold and to abide in absolute truths, which are most certainly true, and as the Athanasian Creed says, unless one hold this to be true, he shall surely perish.
Can we even begin to make statements like this is most certainly true if we are the product, if we are a devoted product of the what you call the unhelpful dominant approach to education?
Oh, yeah, I think we can parrot those things out of a sense of some sort of loyalty for a time, but it will not take root unless the ground within which the seed is being planted has been tilled properly. And that means the methods by which we're taught have to be consistent with a sacramental and confessional view.
What do you do with someone like me, and I am certainly not unique, Dr. Tallman, who is a product of Lutheran schools from the earliest ages to the very end of the cycle, and sad to say, at least during the time which I was educated as a child, none of this was in consideration. It was really kind of the nadir of educational method. What do you do with someone like me who's now midlife and needs something remedial?
Well, I'm a lot like that myself. I wasn't even a product of Lutheran schools, Todd. I came to the faith late. But I did, when I went to get my bachelor's degree, my debate coach was a Missouri Synod Lutheran who was an Aristotelian scholar, and he introduced me to a lot of these concepts that really helped get me squared away. But I got a degree in rhetoric from him primarily because he liked to just have us buy a lot of paperback editions of Plato, Aristotle, Cicero, and so forth, and we would just read them and talk about them. And then I got a political science minor because the prof there that I liked the most did the same thing with political treatises. So, you know, you learn from great thinkers in the Western tradition. There are all kinds of tools available for doing so. And, you know, it's not impossible, and it's just a matter of recognizing the difference and recognizing what one's been educated in, and then trying to fill the gaps.
With only about a minute and a half, and if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to have you for a few minutes on the other side of the break as well. With only about a minute and a half before this break, Dr. Tallman, talk a bit about the content there, because you've mentioned kind of the classics of Western civilization that have I can tell you, as a father of a high school age son, you can read every page of a history book, of any kind of book, and you will not find it anymore in the textbooks in public schools. How important is that content to classical liberal arts education?
Well, there's certainly a difference between reading for content and mastery of subject matter versus cultivating habits of mind, and that has more to do with the approach to education. But I think it's not rocket science, and it's not that difficult to grasp the difference. And once you pick that up, then it's a matter of reading with a certain frame of mind.
We're talking with Dr. James Tallman. He's professor of rhetoric and director of debate at Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia, author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine, Teach Your Children to Think Like a Lutheran. We come back just a few more minutes with him talking about classical liberal arts education on this Wednesday afternoon, February the 8th. After that, Pastor Lee Hagen will join us. He's author of an article in the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Pastoral Care in the Country. We'll talk about that rural and small town church, which in many denominations forms the backbone of a church body. Robert Morrison will join us in the second hour, and we'll talk why he has written recently for National Review Online of his support for, as a Lutheran, his support for Catholic conscience rights, especially when it comes to all of the things that are swirling in the news today about that conscience being compromised. It seems a little thing to our leaders today that Catholics and other Christians would compromise their conscience on matters of life and protection of the unborn and birth control, and it isn't a little thing. We'll talk more about that in hour two of Issues, Etc. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California; Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California; Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California; Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California; Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan; St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois; St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois; Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin; St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin; Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri; Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas; St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas; University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado; St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas; Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan; Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska; and Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support, the Issues, Etc. 300.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Sometimes you can measure your success based on what your enemies are saying about you. Last year, states passed a record number of pro-life laws, and now it's derailing some pro-abortion activists. Casey Martin is the Director of Planned Parenthood of the Southern Finger Lakes in upstate New York. He recently said, "I'm sorry to say the sky is falling on Roe v. Wade. It's been falling incrementally for the past four decades, and it fell further, faster in 2011 than in any time before." Rachel Maddow, the self-proclaimed lesbian commentator on MSNBC, called our progress breathtaking and berated pro-abortion politicians for not standing up more for abortion on demand. "This is more evidence we're going to win this life and death battle. Please pray God makes it soon."
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. Dr. James Tallman is our guest. We're talking about Christian liberal arts education. It's Wednesday afternoon, the 8th of February. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Tallman, a few more questions for you before we let you go. Someone listening to us at this point might say, "Well, look, it just sounds like what you're interested in is kind of creating a generation of intellectual elites, people who are very smart, who think well." How would you respond to that elitist charge that is sometimes made against those who call for a return to a classical model of education?
Yeah, well, there certainly is that sense, but I think that has to do more with the decline in Western culture than the fault of liberal arts education. If you go back to Luther's day, he was arguing for liberal arts education for all, both boys and girls, for all children of the kingdom, even kids who didn't intend to go to university, kids who would most likely just serve in some sort of functional capacity in the community, but he said it would be important for them to handle the Word of God well and to recognize Latin and to be able to think well so that they could serve well. And so there is a sense today that it's more elitist. But, you know, I used to be a director of honors education taught before I came to Patrick Henry College, and it was the dirty little secret in honors education that when we got together in our conferences and talked about methodology and all that sort of thing, we were essentially just talking about education the way it ought to be and the way it was when it made sense. And like we mentioned earlier, in the Catholic education system, to a large extent, they never really departed from those models, and that's why I think you see a difference.
You also make a point in your article that this classical liberal arts education best serves the Great Commission. Make your case.
Yeah. Korchak came to Concordia, Missouri, when we were having a conference down there with CCLE. That's CCLE.org, by the way, if anybody's interested. Lots of great resources there. Anyway, when Korchak came, he was teaching his book, Lutheran Education, and I kind of extracted from what he was saying a couple of syllogisms. And the one was that growth, because he reduced liberal arts education to the three distinctives of Lutheran Christian liberal arts are baptism, catechesis, and vocation. And in terms of the Great Commission, he said, growth in baptism requires study of God's Word. Right understanding of God's Word requires right education. That takes us back to what I was talking about right at the beginning of the program. And therefore, growth in baptism requires right education.
So what's he saying there?
That in order to really live out the Great Commission, we need to understand God's Word. We need to understand the parables of Christ better. Do you remember, Todd, the 1990 edition of God's Word to the Nations, the New Evangelical Translation? It came out, and they took the time, rather than simply rendering the text in two columns and maximizing number of words per page, they actually set the text in a way that emphasized the poetic structures of the language.
I do remember.
Do you recall that at all?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Really a revelation to me. And I studied that, and I got so excited. It explained in the appendix about chiastic structure and chi structure. If their taste for literature is cultivated so that they can hear and see those structures, they're going to get more out of God's Word, and therefore they'll be able to live out their baptism more fully with a more robust and informed faith.
Dr. James Tallman is professor of rhetoric and director of debate at Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia. He's author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Teach Your Child to Think Like a Lutheran. Dr. Tallman, thank you very much for your time, and keep up the good work.
Thank you so much, Todd.